Good morning again, everyone. If you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn to 2 Thessalonians, please. I just want to pray before we get into the service. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, thank you for this opportunity to praise and worship you together. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God moving and touching people, Lord God, and using gifts to inspire and to build up the body of Christ. But we pray now, Lord, as we turn to the Word, that your word would do its work. That it would not just speak to us who are here, but speak to those who are watching on Facebook, listening to the podcast, or listening and watching on YouTube. We ask, Lord, please, that whatever way your word is received, Lord God, this morning, we pray that it would be received under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Help us, Lord, in this subject because, Father, it's a complicated subject. It's one that we don't want to get bogged down in, Lord God, because we can't get it all right. But the truth is we need to proclaim the simplicity of this message, that we in Shiloh Christian Fellowship believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Lord, today may the Spirit of God speak to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say first to Dean, it was good. Dean had said to me last week, I have to say something. He wanted to say it last week. Lord had put it on his heart because it's a year, you know, that he's been a Christian walking with the Lord. And he says, I want to get it out before the end of January. Well, you've got it, Dean. You've got it done. So praise God. Praise God. But you have been a blessing, as has Diane and Joy coming along here since then as well. And Billy prayed that. So we do thank you as well. That's all right. No worries. Okay, so in our What Shiloh Believes series, we're looking at his second coming. And it's there at the back. For anyone who wants to get a copy of our statement of faith and read it, it's there. You can just lift them out from the sheets there. But there's an array of teaching, an absolute array of teachings and suspect interpretations on the second coming of Jesus and the events that will lead up to this. And no doubt eschatology, that's the big flashy word for the last day's events, it rouses great interest, and it should inspire and excite all Christians that one day soon we're going to witness the parousia, we're going to witness the second coming of Jesus. Whether we have popped our clogs and have already gone to be with Jesus and we're returning with him in spirit to get our new resurrection bodies, or whether we're alive on the earth at the time and we're going to be caught up in the twinkling of an eye to be with the Lord in the air, receiving our new resurrection bodies. We are going to witness this event. However, no one should be bogged down trying to work out the sequence of events or the best solutions to the eschatological questions. I studied the rapture for a year. I bought book after book after book. I listened to tapes. That's how far back it was. I listened to tapes of people talking about the rapture and everything. And after the year of really intense study, I came to the conclusion, I'm none the wiser. Except for the fact that I know Jesus is coming back and I need to be ready. So neither should we foolishly get bogged down. Not only should we not get bogged down in the trying to understand all of the events in a sequence, but neither should we foolishly believe what others teach. I'm a human being. I am a sinner. If God exposed my heart to you right now, you would say, not fit to lead a church. I've been telling that to the Lord for 20 years. Not fit to lead a church. So what I'm saying to you is you should not foolishly believe what others teach, but check the scriptures to see if these things are true. And you will still not get it 100% correct. No matter what we discover in our studying, it will never be 100% accurate. We should simply enjoy learning about or basking in this wonderful truth. Jesus is coming back for us, and allow this truth to spur us on in our evangelistic endeavors and how we go out there to tell others this truth. And so I ended last week's message by saying that we would look at the question, are there any signs? After me saying, don't look for signs. Are there any signs that do point to the second coming of Jesus? And I'll emphasize, I don't believe that we should put our faith and trust in signs and wonders. Okay, so we're going to look at some signs, but I'm telling you not to put your trust in signs or wonders. As someone once said, a sign and a wonder is just that. They point to something and we wonder why. The signs point to something and we wonder why. But on the question, are there any signs that point to the second coming of Jesus? The best authority on this is Jesus. And he gave some insights to his disciples while they sat together on the Mount of Olives. So if you've got a chance, you'll not be able to do this morning, but if you've got a chance, take time to read Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21 to get some insight or to see some signs. But I'm going to mention just a few. So if you want more of them, it's a good wee thing to do is to read these and mark down on a piece of paper what you think are signs that point to the second coming of Jesus. And these are things that Jesus himself said. But I'm going to mention a few this morning that we're going to look at. Not going to go into depth to any of these. You'll find out in a moment what my point is. But Jesus said this, that in the last day, so we know we're living in the last days, but then so was Jesus. Okay? Because from the conception of Jesus was the inauguration of the last days. But Jesus says this, in the last days, false Christs will arise. Now I know and you know that doesn't mean that we're going to be walking through Whitehall Avenue one day and some guy's going to be walking around in a robe, white robe with big beard and saying, "Hi guys, I'm Jesus." Now we know there are headbins who do that. Or nowadays they're more modern and they wear turquoise shell suits. But we know that that's not what Jesus meant when he said false Christ will arise. But I could take you less than 5 minutes walk from here and you will find a false Christ. He's at the top of the road. And a false Christ and a false Messiah is a false Jesus that is being preached. A false Jesus that is being taught. A Jesus that is contrary to the Jesus of the Bible is a false Messiah. He is a false Christ. And there are many false Christs in this town. And let me tell you, there are many false Christs even in churches in this town. So when Jesus says many false Christs will arise, you think from the Mount of Olives conversation to this very day. There's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. And yes, there is the odd head bin who comes and thinks that he's Jesus. I've told you before, in Israel, they have a thing called the Jerusalem Ward. And the Jerusalem Ward is when people get a flight heading out to Israel to go and look at all of the holy sites. For some unknown reason, some people suddenly think they're one of the two witnesses. Some people on the plane, before it even lands in Ben Gurion Airport, think that they're one of the prophets that God has called for the last days. Or the great Whore of Babylon. They've been taken. And the thing is that they have a thing called the Jerusalem War. So when these people are scooped away quickly and taken to the side in the airport, they're taken to what's known as the Jerusalem War till they get them to wise up and take them back out, because there's this hyper-emotionalism that comes over people. Well, there are those people who think that they are Christ or that they're messiahs. Jesus also said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. Now remember, he's saying this to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. He's telling them there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars. Well, we could look now and say, well, Jesus, you got that one right. You think, for example, in the past few weeks, the rumors of war. Has Donald Trump sparked the potential for Third World War? It was never going to happen. Not on that situation. But people thought, are we heading towards a Third World War? There have been wars and rumors of wars. You could also say to Jesus, you know, you're chancing your arm here, Jesus. You're saying things like, you know, false Christs and wars and all. You know, get a wee bit more specific, Jesus. Give us a few more details. Well, he says there's going to be famines. Do we not hear of famines in Yemen? Do we not hear of famines in Ethiopia? Have we not heard of famines in different parts of the world happening all the time? And he says there's going to be widespread diseases. Hello, coronavirus. Somebody sent me a photograph last night, and I thought it was hilarious. But it's only Northern Ireland you can think of this. But it was an empty box of Corona beer, and he had it on his head, and it said, "Coronavirus spreads to Belfast." Now, we can joke and carry on, but see, in reality, that's spreading like wildfire, and people are dying. Now, I know it's Northern Irish humour, and it's not making light of what is going on. But here is widespread disease. This thing is spreading. We're not getting the true figures of what is going on. But what if that becomes pandemic and people are dying all over? And I was joking earlier on this morning saying it could come to the point where it's back to the dark ages where you're wheeling the cart or you've got a low back lorry driving up your street shouting, "Throw out your dead." But Jesus said these things were going to happen. There would be famines, there would be widespread diseases. He talked then, he says, there's going to be earthquakes. Hello, Turkey, on Friday. They're happening all the time. What about anti-Semitism? That's a hatred of the Jewish people. We think, oh, surely a Holocaust could never happen again. It could. And people will sit by and watch it happening. Because there is a spread already, right across the United Kingdom, right across Europe, of anti-Semitism, a real hatred of the Jewish people. And we know who is behind that. Satan is behind that. Jesus said, people will be easily offended. In the last days, people will be easily offended and they will hate each other. Goodness, do we not see that all the time when we see the deviant gay prides and all of these things walking through our streets and you dare speak out against it, you're hated for it. They say, oh, but equality, 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 but there's no equality for the Christian. There's no equality for the person who preaches the word of God. Now, it's not our place to judge or condemn, but our place is to stand upon the word of God and to make it known so that people can be saved. But these days, Jesus says, in the last days, people will be easily offended. How many times now do you hear if something happens, they've had to get counsellors into the schools? In my day, excuse the term, but it was crap happens, get on with it or get over it. In my house, that's what I call speed counselling. My boys come to me and say, oh, my life, and I said, speed counselling, crap happens, get over it. Jesus said false prophets will deceive many. Here's the scary thing. We think, again, false prophets are going to be dressed in some sort of ridiculous leather clothes, eating locusts and honey dripping from their beards. But false prophets are people in pulpits who are preaching a wrong gospel. And they can be in the church preaching a wrong gospel, telling people, oh, never worry about that nonsense about you need to be born again. And they tell moralistic stories all about Jesus, but they don't tell people you're a sinner and you need to repent and be saved. And then he says there will be injustices, there will be carelessness, people just won't care, there will be immorality, there will be crime, there will be ungodliness. These are just some of the things that Jesus says points to his second coming. Now here's the point. Let's get real. We could argue now, in light of what we know, if we went back to the Mount of Olives where Jesus is sitting with his disciples, we could argue, well, you know what, Jesus? These things have been happening for centuries. And you would be right. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been famines. There's always been sicknesses. There's always been wars. There's always been people being easily offended. There's always been false prophets. Right back, Old Testament, look at how many false prophets. You could argue with Jesus and say, come on, Jesus, give us a wee clue here. But these things have been going on for ages. But here's five other signs that may point to the imminent return of Jesus. The birth of the nation of Israel in 1948. God's faithfulness. When he says that he would bring his people back from the nations to the land of Israel. And in 1948, Israel was declared a nation again. Another sign that links to that is the return of the Jews to Israel. There are 14 million Jews roughly worldwide. 46% of them are now living in Israel. And there's a thing called making Aliyah, where you can apply, if you have a down to as far as a Jewish grandparent, you can apply to make Aliyah and you will be brought back to Israel if you wish to go there and live. But that is the fulfillment of Scripture, that God says, I will speak to the north and to the south, to the east and the west, and he will bring his people back to the land. Then there is the falling away, the apostasy. I was talking to my Arminian friend the other night, and he says the falling away is Calvinism. And then when I says, well, what about the man of sin? He says, that's John Calvin. So there is the falling away, which is the apostasy, and we'll look at that in a moment. There is another sign, the man of sin will be revealed, the Antichrist. And then there is the restrainer of evil being removed. And many people believe that the restrainer of evil is the Holy Spirit. But let's read what the Word of God says. I need to get through this quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul writing says this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he, capital H, is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among them. Among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I want to focus this morning briefly on the falling away or apostasy to help us to understand something about how near his second coming is. What is meant by this, the falling away? What is meant by the term apostasy? It's defined as this: the abandonment or renunciation of a religious or political belief or principle. The term apostasy comes from the Greek and it means defection. It means departure from, to a revolt or a rebellion against. It is described as a willful act. Please listen to this morning. It is a willful act of falling away from or rebellion against Christianity. Now, before we go any further, let me put a few questions to you. Has the apostasy already happened? Has it already occurred? Are we so far into the last days that the apostasy has already occurred? Well, let me put to you why I'm asking that. Many Christians believe that when the Roman Catholic Church introduced paganism and secularism and all of its nonsense into the church, it was then that the apostasy happened. Did the Reformation, for example, in the 16th century, did it cause the apostasy when they protested against the Roman Catholic Church and defected from it? So some people view the Catholic Church as an apostate church, having fallen away from the teachings of the Word of God. Other people view the Protestant Church as the apostates who have fallen away from the Catholic Church. Are Roman Catholics apostates? Are Protestants apostates? Apostasy is defined as the abandonment or renunciation of a religious or political belief or principle. It means defection, departure, revolt, or rebellion. It means a willful act of falling away from or rebellion against Christianity. Others suggest apostasy in its simplistic form is the simple rejection of Christianity by someone who was a Christian. Now listen to that this morning, because anybody who knows me knows my view. Others suggest apostasy is simply the rejection of Christianity by someone who was a Christian. Can you be a Christian and then not be a Christian? Well, the answer is yes, if it is in name only. Yes, if it is in name only. I'll put it another way. Can you be a born again Christian and then be unborn again? Is it possible? If apostasy is the abandonment or the renunciation of a religious or political belief or principle, a defection, a departure, a revolt or rebellion, a willful act of falling away from or rebellion against Christianity, would it be correct then to say that a backslider is an apostate, one who has committed apostasy? Well, personally, I do not believe that a born-again Christian can commit apostasy. And yet I firmly believe that the greatest apostasy happens within churches. Hear that again? I do not believe that a born-again Christian can commit apostasy. And yet I firmly believe that the greatest apostasy happens within churches. Now listen again, please, to this. I want this on record. Please don't just accept what I'm saying. Because what if I'm wrong? You have a responsibility to search the scriptures to see if these things are true. I believe apostasy is when professing Christians willingly reject the truth of God's word. They may have been sitting under it for years. They may have been going to churches for years, sitting under the word of God. They may have tasted of the heavenly gifts. They may have enjoyed praising and worshiping the Lord. But I believe apostasy is when professing Christians willingly reject the truth of God's word for their own traditions, for political correctness, for their own worldviews, or for lies. These people do not want to hear God's word, but rather they want their ears tickled. These people set aside God's truth to be seen as all loving, all welcoming, and accepting of all people, no matter what deviant, sinful lifestyle or life choices they make. Apostasy is when professing Christians, not born again Christians, apostasy is when professing Christians by a willful act abandon, renounce, defect from, depart, revolt, or rebel against the truth of God's word and against the fundamental essential principles of Christianity. And most of them do this while attending church on Sundays. How frightening is that? Hear it again. Apostasy is when professing Christians, not born again Christians, churchgoers, pew warmers, people who have gone to church because that's what they're used to doing. It's not born again people. It is not people who have been born by the Spirit of the living God. But when professing Christians, by a willful act, they choose to shut down to the truth of God's word. They're sitting in church. They'll put their envelope into the church. They will get confirmed in the church. They'll play the organ in the church. They'll sing and put their hands up in church. They will do all the Christian things that professing Christians get involved in. But by a willful act, they abandon, they renounce, they defect from, they depart, they revolt, or they rebel against the truth of God's word and against the fundamental essential principles of Christianity. And most of them do it while they're sinning in church. Now imagine if a persecution comes. Imagine if we go through the great tribulation. How many people are going to abandon the church? I told the story some time ago about a Russian church somewhere, I can't remember where exactly in Russia, but the people were all in there, they were praising, they were worshipping the Lord, when the doors were kicked up the hall, and in came these masked gunmen, fired off a few shots into the ceiling, and then said, "Anybody that's not a Christian, get out of here now," and half of the church emptied. And then the men put down their guns and said to the Christians, "We want what you've got," and gave their lives to the Lord. Now imagine this morning if the doors of Shiloh Christian Fellowship kicked open and then came a hooded man with the guns, fired off a few rounds into the ceiling and said, "Anybody not a Christian, get out of here." I wonder how many of us would be at emergency exit. just so you know, the chain's not on the emergency exit if it happens. But that is, it's a willful act. And you say, "Oh, but it's self-preservation." But you're not supposed to preserve self. You're supposed to die to self. The falling away, the apostasy, is professing Christians within churches who are turning away from, rejecting the truth of God's word for their own traditions, political correctness, worldviews, and lies. And this falling away, this apostasy, is happening today all over the world and is a clear sign which points to the second coming of Jesus. I believe, and I want to put this on record as well, I believe a backslider is not, and can never be an apostate. Because God's word teaches he is married to the backslider. So how can they be an apostate? God is married to the backslider. So a backslider cannot be an apostate. An apostate is someone who has not been born again by the Holy Spirit. They have all the Christianese. They have all the Christian things around them. They're involved up to their neck in the Lord of the things, but they've got no time for the things of the Lord, but they've no time for the Lord of the things. They are not born again. The problem with the church today is there seems to be as many tares as there is wheat. There seems to be as many goats as there are sheep. And ultimately, it is not our place to decide which is which. That belongs to the Lord. We are to love everyone that comes through the doors. But as people within the church reject the word of God for their own traditions, for political correctness, for worldviews and lies, we can be certain that their rejection, their falling away, undoubtedly points to his second coming and the return of Jesus. We have had many people over 20 years get up and leave this church because they didn't like the truth. We have had people come here who could pray and could pray very effectively, but they weren't saved. We have had people come here who could sing all the songs and rejoice and everything and speak all the wonderful things, even want to give up and get up and give testimony, but they weren't born again. And when you preach the truth and when you tell the truth, they leave. Somebody sent me a photograph during the week, and in the top half it was this church absolutely packed to the rafters, massive, massive church, packed to the rafters. And on the top of it said, "When you preach what they want to hear." And underneath was a wee empty church, only a few people sitting, and it said, "When you preach the truth." Well, Shiloh Christian Fellowship, I hope and pray, will be a church where we preach the truth. We're not here to please people or to tickle people's ears. So Christian, if a Christian can commit apostasy, if a Christian can fall away, are you sure you're not on the slippery slope? If a Christian can commit apostasy, don't just go by what Tommy Gordon says. I could be wrong. So if a Christian can commit apostasy, if they can fall away, which I don't believe they can, but are you sure you're not on the slippery slope? How much do you value the Word of God? How much do you value fellowship with other believers? How much do you love Jesus? Are you prepared for and looking forward to His second coming? Many things point to the imminent return of Jesus, none more so than the falling away from God's Word in this generation. And my word to Christians is this: get close to Jesus. I was talking to Darren and I was saying a while back that the most scariest verse in the Bible is when Jesus says, "Too many, depart from me, for I never knew you." And then one of the Bibles that I had when I read it, I had marked on it, "Make sure Jesus knows me now." And I'm saying to you this morning, Christian, make sure Jesus knows you now. Get close to Jesus. And a word to backsliders. In the light of the fact there is currently, without any doubt, a great falling away happening, and it points to the second coming of Jesus, should you not seriously consider your position and get right with the Lord? To anyone here this morning watching on Facebook, YouTube, or listening to the podcast, and you're not yet a Christian, let me tell you, there is no doubt that we are living in the last days. This world as we know it is winding down to its close, and Jesus is coming back soon. If Jesus suddenly returns, will you have left it too late? Jesus said these words, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're not standing up here in any way pretending that we know how things are going to unfold. We're not pretending, Father, that we've got it all right. We believe in the return of Jesus Christ, your Son. We believe there are things that we can watch out for, Lord, that point to that. And one of these is the apostasy, the great falling away. Lord, will you please help us to stand firm in the evil day? Will you please help us not to allow our love for you to grow cold? Will you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, draw us closer and closer to you, that we might walk with you faithfully and obediently, serving you all the days of our lives, until you come for us individually or collectively as the body of Christ? Will you preserve us in your grace, pickle us in your love, and enable us, Lord, please, to be confirmed unto the end? Lord, I pray for backsliders today and ask that you would graciously remind them that you're married to them, that you love them, and your love for them has never changed. And may you draw them again onto yourself. And for the unbeliever, Father, we ask that in your mercy and grace, Lord, please, you would extend to them another opportunity to repent of their sins and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too may be among the great throng that will be forever with the Lord. We ask it in his glorious name. Amen.